Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading the first article published in the Midland Reporter Telegram front page, Tuesday, March 8, 2022. MDC board to give city $1.5 million. Money to go toward buying 327-acre tract east of airport. By Mella McEwen. Members of the Midland Development Corporation Board of Directors approved an agreement to help the City of Midland purchase a 327-acre tract east of Midland International Airport. At the MDC's monthly board meeting, board members approved providing the city $1.5 million as an economic development agreement to help purchase the tract, which will be owned by the Department of Airports of the City of Midland. According to Sarah Harris, MDC Executive Director, these funds will bridge the gap between appraised value and sales price. Harris said the MDC has committed 30% of its annual revenues to infrastructure, and the funding approved Monday will be designated as part of that commitment for purchases of MDC's budgeting and cash flow. In a move related to the agreement, board members also approved a memorandum of understanding between the MDC and the City of Midland to provide for marketing of certain city-owned property at the airport. The term of the MOU will be for 10 years, but can be terminated by either party with a 30-day written notice. There is immediate interest in the land south of the terminal, said Harris. The airport already owns this land. The MOU authorizes the MDC to market this property as well as the 327 acres to be purchased. She said the MOU must be approved by Midland City Council before taking effect. After some discussion, board members also approved paying $14,999 to the University of Texas Permian Basin as part of an incubator and makerspace grant agreement between MDC and UTPB. But in passing the resolution, board members agreed that the agreement should be amended to require quarterly reports from UTPB before additional reimbursements are approved. The MDC in 2020 committed $2 million to remodel the Center for Energy and Economic Diversification at Highway 191 and Farm to Market Road 1788 to establish an incubator program. The incubator program is expected to include biomedical research, a natural resource center, and cybersecurity center, as well as weekend boot camps, entrepreneurial meetings, and mentoring programs, workforce training, and offices that could be leased by startup companies. The MDC has also pledged $5 million in staffing costs for the incubator program, up to $200,000 a year over 25 years.
This article is entitled Strambler to Run for MISD Board. Candidate is passionate about helping our children succeed. By Stuart Doreen. A mother of three MISD students, a former law enforcement official, and graduate of Midland ISD schools, will run for school board. Tierra Strambler will have a campaign event at 11 this morning in front of Alamo Junior High, but she told the Reporter Telegram on Monday of her proposal of new leadership for changing times. She will run for District 3, which is generally located in southwest Midland, and currently includes Bonham Elementary, Jones Elementary, Henderson Elementary, Barbara Yarborough Elementary, Young Women's Leadership Academy, and Alamo Junior High on its current map. Currently, Tommy Bishop is the representative of the district. I am running because it is my passion to do what I can to help our children succeed, to advocate for them, and to be a voice to fight for their futures, Strambler wrote in an email to the Reporter Telegram. It is something I feel I have been called to do, to run for this seat, as a parent and as a citizen who genuinely cares about the future of our children and the direction their education has gone. The school district as a whole has been failing for over a decade, and I can no longer sit by and watch. I have a strong sensibility to get up and speak for our children and alongside our community and make decisions in the best interests of our students. Strambler said she will give greater focus to turning our low-performing schools around, obtaining financial accountability for our tax dollars, ensuring the safety of our children in schools, and coming up with a better long-term capital plan. Strambler graduated from Midland High in 2003 and then attended Prairie View A&M, where she studied criminal justice and psychology. Her biography added that she enlisted in the Army and served as an aviation operations specialist. Upon returning to Midland, she worked at the Midland County Detention Center as a detention officer. She then attended the Permian Basin Law Enforcement Academy, worked as a patrol officer and certified RAD, Rape Aggression Defense, instructor for Midland College, and became the first female bailiff for the City of Midland Municipal Court. "I currently work in the city secretary's office," she wrote. She lists having three children who attend MISD schools, a third, sixth, and ninth grader. In addition to volunteering at schools, she stated that she started a nonprofit organization called Beautiful and Dedicated Divas, along with a family member. Beautiful and Dedicated Divas is a six-week scholarship program that equips teenage girls with the skills and knowledge they need to better prepare them for life after high school, she said. She also lists volunteering with local track and volleyball programs and substitute teaching since returning to Midland. "I was able to look firsthand into the classrooms and interact with the students, allowing me to see how they learn," Strambler wrote. This article is entitled "Peyton to Run for Re-Election" by Stuart Doreen. Midland Mayor Patrick Peyton will run for re-election. Peyton will hold an event to make the public announcement on March 14th at Second Story Co-working, which happened to be the location where he announced his initial bid. Peyton earned 51.99% of the vote in November 2019 to win his first term. That election was a three-person race that included Jerry Morales and Jenny Cudd. 5 months later, the COVID pandemic rocked the community and nation. Much of the first couple of years of Peyton's first term has been dominated by COVID issues and their impact on city government. The mayor seat will be one of three city seats on the ballot in November. The other two are District 3, generally Central Midland, and District 4, generally West Midland. This column is called Small Bites. It is entitled Art Food to Collide During Salvador Dali Inspired Event. Event to feature area chefs' mixologists' take on Dali's cookbook. By J.C. Lewis. Five area chefs and bartenders will present their take on Salvador Dali's Le Diner de Gala cookbook during a tasting event Thursday at the Ellen Noel Art Museum. In 1973, Dali decided to do this cookbook, and by that time he was already a well-known artist, Enam curator Daniel Zees said. He was always really interested in the food world, so he decided to create his own cookbook. He invited several French chefs to help put the book together. Zees said that a lot of the recipes reflect on Dali's art as they are surreal and have their own unexpected twist. Dali illustrated his own cookbook, and the exhibition consists of 12 original prints from the cookbook alongside a first edition print of the cookbook. Chef Joshua and Jorenda Washburn from the Garlic Press, Eric Mann from the Blue Door, Chef Stephen Gonzalez and Chef Giancarlo Del Aguila from Flair Taverna, and Chef Alejandro Barrientos from Curbside Bistro will be presenting their inspired dishes and drinks during the event. Mann said she got involved after Jorenda Washburn told her about the event. "I have never created a cocktail for an event like this," Mann said. "My cocktail and mocktail aren't strictly inspired by the cookbook, but more by some of Dali's other work." She said she took Dali's Spanish roots and created a cocktail and mocktail out of ingredients from Spain. The cocktail will feature sherry with cava, sweetened with orgeat, an almond-flavored syrup decorated with a dehydrated lemon and gold sugar balls. She said she wanted the cocktail to look like a piece of art. For the mocktail, she will use the same orgeat with freshly squeezed lemon juice, sparkling water, and mint. "I wanted to do the lemon because I was reading as much about Dali as I could," she said. "I wanted both of the cocktails to look good with food, too." Dali has this series of citrus paintings, mainly focusing on lemons, so I wanted to incorporate that into those drinks. Mann said in general she has been very inspired by the Midland arts scene. "We recently had a local artist who used to be a bartender at the Blue Door create a mural in our hallway," she said. "Now we have rotating local art hanging in the hallway. When I put the call out to ask local artists if they wanted to participate, I was hoping I could get 5 pieces. But I had about 35 artists reach out." She said this project has come at a perfect time to tie in her energy for the local arts scene. The Josh Washburn said Dali's cookbook is a bit weird compared to reading modern cookbooks and a lot more interpretive. "The cookbook leaves a lot to interpretation, and that's exactly what we will be doing," he said. Washburn said they will be making dishes inspired by his baked cauliflower and olives. "They have created a cauliflower tartlet and a nectarine with olive canapé." He added that both items will be more finger-friendly. Zees said that in his 9 years at the museum, they have never done an event like this. "It's been fun to incorporate food with the art. Plus, it's great working with all these local chefs to create a fun event," he said. "I told them there are about 160 recipes that they can choose to get inspiration from, and they don't have to do an exact replica of the recipe. The event will have 10 different stations. Attendees will receive a booklet with the chef bios and descriptions of how they were inspired by Dali's cookbook. Attendees will be able to view the exhibit during the time as well. Each station will have sample drinks to go along with the dishes, and the Blue Door station will have a cocktail or a mocktail to choose from." "A lot of people have seemed interested in the event," Zees said. "Now that we will have done it once, I hope to find more opportunities for events like this. Limited tickets are still available. Visit noelartmuseum.org/new-events/2022/2/8/salvador-dal-tasting-event for more information. The exhibit will be on view until March 27th. The Bites. Odessa Donuts and Deli will be converted to Bagels Cafe. The menu and faux bowls will be available at the restaurant owner's other restaurant located in Midland. Faux Street Restaurant will be serving Odessa Donuts and Deli at 503 East Interstate 20, Suite 130. Rickshaw Vibes has found a permanent parking spot in Midland for the food truck. Every Wednesday, the truck will be parked at 1200 Andrews Highway from 5:30 to 9 p.m., unless otherwise noted. Chocolate and beer pairing with Marabia Craft Chocolate at Eccentric Brewing Company will be March 12th from 6 to 7 p.m. Eccentric will be releasing their raspberry stout during the event. Tickets can be purchased at eccentric-brewing-company.ticketleap.com/marabia-chocolate-and-beer-pairing. The inaugural crawfish cook-off presented by Down South Seafood and the Tailgate will be April 9th at 4401 North Big Spring Street. General admission is $35. There will be crawfish races, drink specials, guest judges, crawfish eating contest, live Cajun music, and more. The event will feature a special performance by Treaty Oak Revival. Deadline to enter is March 26th. Call Ryan Lejeune at 337-580-4602 to enter the cook-off. The third annual Tom Arnold Memorial Fish Fry will be from 5 to 8 p.m. on April 9th at the American Legion Building. The event will serve up fried catfish, steak fingers, hush puppies, and all the trimmings and sides. There will be live entertainment, raffles, door prizes, and live auction. Tickets are $12 per person, and kids are $6. This is the local from the front page. This article is entitled, Two Quakes Hit Region Around Midland, by Mercedes Cordero. The U.S. Geological Survey reported an earthquake northeast of Odessa on Monday morning. The USGS reported a 3.0 magnitude quake at 6:38 a.m. The quake took place 6.21 miles south-southeast of Gardendale at a depth of 4.5 miles, according to the USGS. A second quake was also reported Monday southwest of La Mesa at 10:54 a.m. The 2.7 magnitude quake was recorded 21.75 miles from La Mesa at a depth of 4.7 miles. EarthquakeTrack.com reported 9 total quakes around the Midland-Odessa, that includes near Big Spring and La Mesa, in the last 30 days, and 256 in the last 365 days. This article is entitled, Big Spring Woman Dies in I-20 Crash, from Staff Reports. A Big Spring woman died following a wreck on Interstate 20 inside Midland County on Sunday. The Department of Public Safety reported that the driver of a 2006 Dodge Dakota was traveling west on Interstate 20 near mile marker 148. A second vehicle, a 2017 Buick Encore, was parked on the north shoulder of I-20 after running out of fuel. DPS then stated that the Dodge Dakota veered onto the north shoulder and struck the Buick Encore from the rear. Emily Nicole Crawford, a 23-year-old from Big Spring, died in the accident. The accident happened around 12:08, 9 miles east of Midland. This is the local, nation, world page. Chewy's receives alcohol designation by Mella McEwen. As Chewy's prepares for a late spring opening in the former Logan's Roadhouse at 4609 West Loop 250 North, the restaurant has crossed another item off its to-do list. Members of the Planning and Zoning Commission Monday unanimously approved a request by Deborah Shannon on behalf of Chewy's Opco Inc. for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a restaurant. Chewy's is remodeling the former Logan's Roadhouse, an 8,126-square-foot restaurant with an alcohol-serviceable area of 3,633 square feet. Proposed hours of operation are Monday through Saturday from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., with the same hours for alcohol service. Commissioners also considered a request by Brianna Garcia for a zone change from PD, Planned Development District for an Office Center, to an amended PD, Planned Development District for an Office Center at 4401 Gulf Avenue, the intersection of Gulf Avenue and Midland Drive. Garcia made the request to develop a hair salon and have driveway access from Gulf Avenue. The development would consist of an existing 1,400-square-foot utility box and a new 1,575-square-foot building for the hair salon, which Garcia said would have 4 chairs and be by appointment only. The development also includes 8 parking spaces in compliance with city requirements. After listening to neighbors on Gulf Avenue express concerns about already heavy traffic on both Gulf and Midland Drive, as well as about street parking at the salon, commissioners approved the request by a vote of 4-1. In other action, approved a request by Midland Visions 2000 for a zone change from C, Commercial District, to TH, Townhouse Dwelling District, on a tract at South Webster Street and Cloverdale Road to allow for the construction of townhouse dwellings. Midland Visions 2000 hopes to parcel out the two western lots into six lots and change the frontage of the lots to Webster Street to build low-income townhouses. Approved a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption request by Aida Villarreal. Villarreal is seeking to sell alcoholic beverages at her snack shop, Los Elotones Shangaren, at 1000 South Big Spring Street. Hours at the 2,400-square-foot shop will be from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. daily. Approved a request by Juan Hernandez of El Jimador Bar and Grill at 911 South Big Spring Street for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a restaurant, but with a caveat. Hernandez was seeking to amend the specific use designation in order to expand alcohol service hours from 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. the next day. As recommended by Commissioner Adrian Carrasco, the request was approved with the new hours being from 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. the next day on Wednesday through Saturday, with Sunday through Tuesday hours remaining unchanged. Carrasco made the amendment in order that El Jimador be consistent with other restaurants. This article is entitled, Man Arrested on Intoxication Assault Charge During Weekend, by Mercedes Cordero. A Midland man was arrested Sunday morning after his involvement in a wreck that seriously injured one person, according to court documents. Alfredo De Anda, 41, was charged with intoxication assault with a vehicle, serious bodily injury, a third-degree felony charge. He was released on a $25,000 bond. Midland police were dispatched Sunday at 1:44 a.m. to Club Arriba in reference to an accident. At Club Arriba, MPD officers spoke with a driver, identified as De Anda, who had struck another vehicle, according to the report. De Anda stated he has consumed alcoholic beverages and tried to leave the parking lot. Officers performed sobriety tests to determine the level of his intoxication, according to the arrest affidavit. According to the affidavit, De Anda told the officer he had gotten in an argument with his wife and he decided to leave Club Arriba. He also told officers he had approximately 2 tequila shots and 6 beers. Officers noted De Anda had slurred speech, glassy eyes, and had a moderate smell of alcohol coming from his person, according to the affidavit. De Anda was taken to Midland Memorial Hospital to get medically cleared before being transported to Midland County Jail. While at the hospital, officers were made aware that the driver of the other vehicle was also transported to MMH with serious injuries, according to the affidavit. MPD filed to get a blood warrant after De Anda denied consent to give a blood sample. This article is entitled, Midland's Rusty Taco to be first of 5 locations in West Texas, by J.C. Lewis. Rusty Taco will soon have a location in the San Miguel Square Shopping Center, serving up authentic street tacos, fresh margaritas, homemade queso, fresh guacamole, and warm chips. Sheila Abusab of Big Spring, a longtime Sonic franchisee, has signed a 5-location development agreement with the first location to open in Midland, followed by a Lubbock location, according to a press release. Abusab and managing partner Bill Cole look forward to providing Midland a family-friendly restaurant featuring a comfortable dining room and patio with a laid-back vibe. The patio will also be available for private parties. Rusty Taco was founded by Rusty and Denise Fenton, with their inspiration coming from their travels throughout Texas and Mexico in search of the best authentic street tacos and margaritas. The Fentons created their own recipes and opened the first Rusty Taco with partner Steve Dunn in 2010. The original location was a converted gas station and still thrives in Dallas on Lower Greenville Avenue. The taco chain developed a cult following of urban professionals, college students, artists, musicians, and draws a discerning crowd anticipating great tacos and fresh margaritas. The brand has continued to evolve, but follows the original recipes and utilizes fresh ingredients. The brand has expanded to almost 40 locations.
Good morning. This is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date, Tuesday, March 8, 2022. OPD identifies officer-involved shooting. Officer no-billed by Ector County Grand Jury. At 4:14 p.m. Monday afternoon, the Odessa Police Department identified the officer that was involved in the officer-involved shooting from mid-February. OPD identified the officer as Corporal Reed Jones. He was no-billed on Monday by an Ector County grand jury, and he will resume his full duties. A previous OPD press release detailed officers responded to an armed subject identified as 45-year-old John Michael Humphreys at 3:36 p.m. February 7th at Ace Check Express, located at 1305 East 8th Street. When officers arrived at the scene, they saw Humphreys, who then evaded officers in a vehicle. Humphreys drove around the commercial complex and eventually went back to Ace Check Express and entered the business with a firearm. Police said that Humphreys fired his weapon inside the business. As officers rushed toward the business, Humphreys fired a shot at them. An officer, Corporal Jones, returned fire to stop the threat of harm. Humphreys was pronounced dead by medical personnel. The Texas Rangers are investigating the officer-involved shooting, which is standard. Biden blamed for oil shortage. The Biden administration has been caught with its pants down on energy policy as the war in Ukraine has put a new and much more favorable light on American production, energy spokesmen say. Having spent the past year trying to slow down new oil and natural gas leasing on federal lands, halting construction on the Keystone XL pipeline from Canada, and in other ways impeding production, the administration finds itself faced with the newly controversial American dependence on Russian oil and the sudden urgency to ramp up production, the spokesmen say. And figuring into this all-new day are the oil and gas prices bouncing around daily on an ocean of uncertainty and spikes in gasoline prices at the pump. Permian Basin Petroleum Association spokesman Michael Lozano said Monday from Austin that opening the available 9,000 federal leases to drilling in New Mexico, North Dakota, the Midwest, offshore, and other places would take at least 6 months, with a need for more pipelines and an array of permits to be obtained at each site. There's been a lot of discouragement over investments over the past year to 18 months, Lozano said. This confirms what we knew all along, that the work being done by the men and women of the energy industry is crucial to the national security and energy security of America and our allies. The Biden administration is between a rock and a hard place of their own doing because they unfortunately turned the energy industry into a political football, having fluctuated by as much as $10 a day during the past week and a half. West Texas Intermediate crude oil stood at $119.40 per barrel Monday afternoon, while natural gas has gone from $4.62 per 1,000 cubic feet on February 28th to $4.833 Monday. Odessa oilman Kirk Edwards says Biden's recent appeals for more oil from Saudi Arabia and other foreign sources, now that Russia has made itself a global pariah, are baffling. Congressman August Pfluger Just said picking Moscow over Midland makes no sense, Edward said. Luckily, we live in Texas and the Permian Basin, where there are no federal lands. Edward said Monday that the Biden administration should be rueing its Green New Deal-inspired reliance on renewable energy. We're seeing a free-for-all for energy right now because they had put all their eggs in that basket, and you can't depend on wind and solar during a cold winter when there is no wind or sun, he said. It all depends on what Russia is doing and how long they want this war to go on. Asked if Texas companies should build more refineries, Edward said the 30 that are currently operating would be sufficient if they were expanded. There are 124 refineries in the country. In a Monday report to the Odessa American, the Lattice Newswire detailed from San Diego, California, that Texas had the most proved crude oil reserves in the nation in 2019, with 18.6 billion barrels, which was 52% more than it had in 2014 due to advances in geological understanding, fracking, and horizontal drilling. Lattice founder Mike LaFerenza said that while the current conditions are unique and likely temporary, concerns about oil shortages are nothing new. Since before the energy crisis of the 1970s, experts have warned of peak oil, the point at which production from available reserves reaches maximum capacity and begins to diminish, LaFerenza said. But despite predictions that oil production was poised for decline, the advances have actually expanded production in recent years. One important metric for capturing the growth in the oil industry is the U.S. is proved reserves, he said. The U.S. Energy Information Administration defines proved reserves as the estimated volume of hydrocarbon resources that are recoverable under current economic and operating conditions, which can shift based on new discoveries, shifts in production capacity, or improved techniques and technologies. Proved reserves in the U.S. had peaked historically at 39 billion barrels in the early 1970s before falling by more than half to 19 billion in 2008. In the years since, proved reserves have spiked to above 44 billion barrels as new extraction techniques have taken hold. LaFerenza said Texas now has more than three times the total of the next highest state, North Dakota, with 5.9 billion, but New Mexico and Oklahoma have seen increases of 134 and 65% respectively over the past 5 years. Sheriff set to request overtime to jail staff. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths is scheduled to speak during Tuesday's Ector County Commissioner's Court regarding overtime for courthouse security and all lieutenants to help staff the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. On Monday morning, Griffiths spoke with the Odessa American over the phone about the need to stay in compliance with the Texas Commission on Jail Standards. Griffiths said a number of lieutenants have offered to work overtime as jail staff, but they currently aren't eligible for overtime as they are classified as administration. Griffiths said a number of courthouse security have also offered to work overtime at the jail on the weekends. We are very, very short in the jail, Griffiths said. Some of the lieutenants that said they would come to work for overtime and some of the personnel that work at the courthouse said the same on the weekends. We are trying to make sure we keep the ratio up. One detention officer per 48 inmates. The Ector County Law Enforcement Center is short about 65 jail staff as of Monday. Griffiths said the shortage of jail staff is a problem throughout the state. We aren't unique in this situation, Griffiths said. Virtually every decent-sized jail in the state of Texas is facing shortages just like we are, and they are doing things like we are doing to stay in compliance with the jail standards. In addition to the overtime request from the sheriff, county commissioners will also hear from Director Ector County Environmental Enforcement, Ector County Emergency Management Coordinator Ricky George about applying for grant funds from the Permian Basin Regional Planning Commission for a regional Solid Waste Grant Program. Ector County Judge Debbie Hayes will also discuss the required documentation of eminent domain authority in Texas. There are also three items on the executive session, from legal matters to real estate issues, and transactions to personnel matters. In other business, the court will to approve and present a proclamation to Harmony Home Children's Advocacy Center, recognizing April as Child Abuse Prevention Month, and authorize the county judge and court commissioners to sign. Receive an update and status report from the Ector County Library Committee. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action on a resolution to host the 94th Annual West Texas County Judges and Commissioners Association Conference in 2024 and authorize the county judge to sign. Consider, discuss, and approve repairing fence and gate damage due to the expansion of Cottonwood Road in Gardendale, Ector County, Texas Precinct 2, and authorize county judge to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. Consider, discuss, and approve, reject, modify, or take any necessary action regarding the purchase of the Centennial Black Topper 2,000-gallon distributor and authorize the county judge to sign. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding options of total loss designation per Dairyland County Mutual Insurance Company of Texas regarding unit number 853, Ector County Building Maintenance, 2008 Ford F-250 pickup truck, VIN number 1FT-SX205980A24128, and to declare this vehicle as salvage property and dispose of said item per section 263.151 and remove from county inventory and authorize the county judge to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to approve the amended notice of joint constitutional amendments and the Ector County ISD bond election and amended election day voting centers and authorize the county judge to sign. To consider, discuss, approve, reject, or take any other necessary action on the extension of the online auctioneer services and authorize the county judge to sign. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding Ector County's participation in the new request for proposal of electrical power supply being issued by Public Power Pool P3. To approve, reject, discuss, or take any necessary action regarding the cell phone and mobile device services to Verizon Wireless and authorize the county judge to sign. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to approve the rental agreement with Odessa College for Employee Services Award Luncheon and authorize the county judge to sign. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to approve exempting the competitive requirement for the purchase of professional medical services and to approve contracting with Dr. Perry Marchioni for psychiatric evaluation services for L3 requirements. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding change oil number 4 for Moss Mill and overlay PO number 38099 and authorize the county judge to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. To consider, discuss, and necessary action regarding an amendment to a contract between Tyler Technologies Incorporated and the clerk of Ector County and authorize the county judge to sign. To consider, discuss, and accept LexisNexis's migration to a secure cloud environment and authorize the county judge to sign. To consider, discuss, and approve a contract with Axon Incorporated for body cameras and subscription and authorize the county judge to sign. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action on a replat of Lot 12, Block 1 of the replat of lots 1 through 6, block 1, Pampas Villas, section 5, block 41. T1S, TNP, RY County Survey of Ector County, Texas, Precinct 2, and authorize the county judge to sign. To consider, discuss, and take necessary action on Basin Industrial South subdivision being a replat of a 78.957-acre tract located in Section 47, Block 44, T2S, Texas and Pacific Railroad Survey, Ector County, Texas, Precinct 4, and authorize the county judge to sign. To review, consider, discuss, approve, and take any necessary action regarding the following proposed consent agenda. To consider, discuss, and approve a line item transfer to general fund, post-sentence monitoring, subscriptions 001-425-5207 from contract services 001-425-5309 for $4,720. To consider and approve the accounts payable fund requirements report for March 8, 2022, to review county financial statements and reports. COVID-19 news by the numbers, COVID in the basin. Ector County, 36,947 total cases, 683 deaths. Midland County, 37,396 total cases, 486 deaths. Texas, 6,639,270 total cases, 85,757 deaths. U.S. cases, 79,094,974 total confirmed, and 955,958 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. MCH numbers. Medical Center Hospital daily COVID inpatient numbers as of 8:30 a.m. Monday. 18 COVID patients in-house, MedSurg non-critical, 10 COVID patients, critical care, 8 COVID patients, 4 unvaccinated, 2 vaccinated, 2 unknown, 5 COVID patients on ventilator, 3 unvaccinated, 1 vaccinated, 1 unknown, age ranges of COVID patients, 40 years old to 91 years old, COVID patients from outside Ector County, 1 from Alpine, 1 from Big Spring, 1 from Hobbs, New Mexico, 1 from Jal, New Mexico, 2 from Midland. Free drive-through COVID-19 tests. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR test drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, test will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. Quick hits, 765 days. For 765 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through September 25th, the city has spent $143,899.04 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa. Free AARP Tax Aid. AARP is offering free tax assistance to seniors by appointment through April 12th at the Northside Senior Center, 1225 Adams Avenue. Masks are required. To schedule an appointment, call 432-337-5281. Urgently needed. The Crisis Center of West Texas is in need of new women's, men's, and kids' underwear and women's and kids' socks, no men's socks. Donations may be dropped off from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday or from 8 a.m., or from noon on Friday at the center, 910 South Grant Avenue, number B. Monetary donations may be made at tinyurl.com/2p8cnbaj. For more information, call 432-333-2527. Spring Concert, the Odessa College A Cappella Choir and Vocal Ensemble, has scheduled a spring concert at 7 p.m. today in Jack Rogers Auditorium. Major choral works by Bach, Mozart, Barre, Haydn, Rossini, and Mendelssohn will be included, accompanied by a chamber orchestra composed of the West Texas community. Admission is free. Visit tinyurl.com/2pbm4fcc. She Can International Women's Day Conference. Odessa Chamber of Commerce and Sewell Family of Companies will present the inaugural She Can International Women's Day Conference in memory of local community leader Adela Vasquez from 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. today at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. There will be breaks between speakers to shop with local vendors in the lobby. Featured speakers will be Peggy Dean, Dr. Lori Rice Spearman, the 9th President of Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, and the first female president in the Texas Tech University System, and Kelly Masters, an attorney, NFL sports agent and founder and president of KMM Sports. For tickets or information, visit bit.ly/3jngnal. That Golden Girls Show, a puppet parody. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market, 1788 Midland, has scheduled a That Golden Girls Show, a puppet parody, at 7:30 p.m. today. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/5n6j7chj. Lenten Midweek Lunch and Service. Faith Fellowship Lutheran Church, 1603 North Grandview Avenue, has scheduled Lenten Midweek Lunch and Services from noon to 1 p.m. Wednesdays through March 30th and April 6th. For more information, call 432-362-2549 or email office at faithfellowshipodessa.org. Les Dinners de Gala by Salvador Dali Tasting. The Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, will host a private tasting event inspired by recipes from Salvador Dali's cookbook, Les Dinners de Gala, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday. Several chefs and restaurants from the Permian Basin have been invited to create a amuse-bouche, which is a one-bite dish inspired by Dali's recipes. There will be 8 or more stations each with an inspired recipe, along with a beverage pairing, and an exhibition, Les Dinners de la Gala, by Salvador Dali, which is on loan from the Castellani Art Museum of Niagara University collection. Limited number of tickets are available. The exhibit will be on display through March 27th. For tickets or more information, contact Emma Valdez at 432-550-9696, extension 214, or email marketing@noelartmuseum.org or visit noelartmuseum.org. Hunks, the Show. Club 305, 620 North Grandview Avenue has scheduled Hunks, the Show from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Thursday. Doors open at 8 p.m. Must be 21 of age and older to attend. For tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/2fw7svtv. Shoot for the Future Clay Shoot. Midland West Rotary Club has scheduled Shoot for the Future Clay Shoot on Friday at Windwalker Farms in Stanton. Proceeds from the fundraiser will benefit scholarships for MC Applied Technology students. Students benefiting from the scholarships include those enrolled in hands-on programs ranging from air conditioning, refrigeration and heating technology, automotive technology, collision repair, diesel technology, energy technology, and welding. For information, contact Tom Jones, Midland West Rotary Club Vice President, at tomwjones13@gmail.com, 432-553-5456, or visit www.midland.edu/clayshoot. Fish Fry Yays, Knights of Columbus, number 3203, and Daughters of Mary have scheduled Fish Fry Yays fundraiser from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. each Friday during Lent, except for Good Friday, March 25th, at St. Mary's Catholic Church Cafeteria, 618 East 18th Street. Plates are $12 each. For more information, call 432-332-5334. Citizen Fire Academy. The Odessa Fire Rescue has scheduled a Citizens Fire Academy. Classes will take place from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. each Tuesday, March 22nd through May 31st. Participants will have the opportunity for a hands-on experience and will get to go on rideouts at the fire station. Must be 18 years or older. Deadline to register is Friday. Registration form is available at tinyurl.com/ppnpt4pn. For more information, call Michael Cervantes at 432-257-0521 or email mcervantes@odessa-tx.gov. REO Speedwagon, Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market, 1788 Midland, has scheduled an REO Speedwagon at 8 p.m. Friday. Doors open at 7 p.m. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/2p8jk7ey. Concerts. The Hacienda Center, 12160 Texas 191 Frontage Road, Midland, has scheduled the following events. Friday, Marca MP El Yaqui Esteban Gabriel. March 25th, Bronco. April 8th, Luis R. Conriquez, Los Jilgueros del Arroyo y Luis Sanchez. June 24th, Banda MS Conjunto Primavera Los Tu de la Es Los Vendavales. For times, tickets, or information, visit HaciendaMidland.com. Teen charged with sexually assaulting 7-year-old relative. An Ector County Sheriff's Office probable cause affidavit detailed a 7-year-old girl made the outcry that her 17-year-old relative had touched her inappropriately. Paul Schumann was charged with aggravated sexual assault of a child, a first-degree felony. The sexual abuse was reported to ECSO at 11:40 a.m. January 20th, and that it happened in the 6800 block of West 29th Street in West Odessa, the affidavit stated. The affidavit detailed the 7-year-old told a family member that a male relative, Schumann, had touched her inappropriately on January 16th. The girl told the family member that when she was visiting Grandma's house that he touched her with his finger under her pants. Due to the outcry, an interview was conducted at Harmony Home, the affidavit stated. During the interview, the girl stated that she was staying the weekend at her grandma's house on January 16th. The girl continued to detail during the interview that Schumann was rude and he wasn't supposed to touch her inappropriately. The girl explained how Schumann had touched her, and she stated it lasted for a couple of minutes until Grandma came into the room. After the interview, a SANE exam was conducted. The affidavit stated, the SANE exam showed no physical trauma was noted only redness. ECSO investigators say they attempted to make contact with Schumann in reference to this case. However, he refused to speak without legal counsel. Schumann was arrested and booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on March 7th. Jail records show bond hasn't been set as of Monday afternoon.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.